Welcome to the Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme podcast. Subscribe now for more episodes. Welcome to the 19th Green Business Podcast, brought to you by the Decarbonisation Net Zero team here at Coventry City Council. I'm Jonathan Howell, and I'll be your host for today's session. And those regular listeners will know that in the main, we try and bring you tangible and impartial advice for our local business community. And we focus mainly on energy efficiency, sustainability, and most importantly, our grant funding support. However, we also like to keep up to date with new cutting-edge advances in the fight against climate change at local, national, and global scales. So during this episode, we're going to discuss one of the most overlooked climate challenges, water, or more specifically, the reduction of access to clean water and ways new tech can help with this. So just to set the scene, first of all, for today's session, I'm going to give you some basic figures on water usage. For context, these are UK stats. Now, we're recording this episode in June, and those of you in the UK will know it's been a pretty poor month. It's been pretty wet so far. But despite that, the UK has experienced several severe droughts recently, which has led to water scarcity, which, as we know, is exacerbated by climate change, an increase in population, and a lack of infrastructure investment. Now, I've looked at some figures today by my friend Google. As a ballpark figure to sort of set the context here, without water-saving measures, England could face a daily shortfall of over 4 billion litres a day by 2050. And that will obviously have a large impact on all sectors within the UK. So look, we know it's an issue, and we know it's one that needs addressing, and very soon. But what I will say is this podcast is not going to focus on the situation as a whole in terms of our water industry and our water situation, because that would need a series of podcasts to discuss in more detail. And obviously, we haven't got time today. So as mentioned earlier on, today we're going to focus on new tech. And to help with this, I would like to introduce today's guest, Brian Sheng from Aquaria. Good afternoon, Brian, and thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Jonathan. Super excited to be on this podcast today. You know, I'm calling in from Suckling Valley right now and just really excited to share a little bit more about what we're doing and talk with our audience from the UK.
Fantastic. So thanks again for joining. It's good to have a fresh pair of eyes on our podcast, and I'm sure our audience will gain great insight into you and what you do during today's session. So kicking off then, Brian, the floor is yours. I want you to just introduce yourself and introduce your business to our listeners, please.
Yeah, sounds great. Again, I'm Brian Sheng. I'm the CEO and co-founder of a company called Aquaria, and we are unlocking a new secure and sustainable source of clean water by harvesting air. So obviously today we get majority of our water from the ground, but we've created a technology that allows us to use solar power to harvest the almost inexhaustible amount of humidity in the air. And of course, like you mentioned, Jonathan, it's been raining a lot. So obviously we know that's a concept over there. So you know our technology. Yep, exactly. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. So we'll come to the product in a bit more detail later on in the actual session. So I'm just interested in you first and foremost, though. What got you into this sector, and how long have you been doing it for?
Yeah, so I started a company actually about 4 years ago. But actually, my entire career has been focused on impact and technologies that can build a better future. My personal background, I'm actually a first generation American immigrant. My parents came to America to build a better life for my family. And so from a very early age, I was very interested in companies that had a bigger mission than just, building a profit. And so prior to founding this company, I was actually a venture capitalist in California. And so technology has been a part of my whole life.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. So just to... I want to just set the scene, as it were. That's what I like to sort of start these conversations out with. Now, I've given our audience some very, very basic UK stats on water in general. Could you, obviously, your background, this is what you're good at. Can you give our listeners a bit of an overview of the global water usage trends and why water scarcity is such a critical issue right now, please?
Yeah, absolutely. If we're looking at a global statistic perspective, then if you look at UN or WHO, there's 2.2 billion people around the world that does not have sufficient access to clean water and sanitation. And that is a huge number. And I think many of us have come across that statistic. But the biggest challenge is that within the effects of climate change, clean water disruption is actually one of the main ways we suffer from that. You know, when we think about rising ocean levels, that actually means that salt water is intruding into our fresh water supply, that's reducing that. When there's more extreme disaster events and weather events, that's also contaminating our fresh water supplies. So this is, we're hitting a point where the, you know, the varying and destructive forces of climate change is increasingly disrupting water in a way that we couldn't have imagined. For example, in California, where I am right now, there's more than 3.5 million people just in the state alone that don't have access to water, even though many people tend to think that in America, there's, you know, plenty of clean water. And across many parts of the country over here, we're also having that problem. So it's very top of mind right now.
Okay. So what are the main consuming industries globally? Is it industry? Is it agriculture? Is it residential? I presume obviously it's a bit of both, but which is the sort of main culprit in terms of taking the water that we've currently got?
Agriculture is by far the largest user of water, and it's followed by industry, you know, across the built environment, or what we call properties and construction, and then human consumption makes up the rest of that. So those three combine for over 85% of all water consumption.
Got it. Okay. So we're all to blame. And by the sounds of it, if something's not done, this situation is going to get worse and worse and worse as climate change gets worse and worse and worse. I presume. I think I'm right in that assumption. It's a general assumption, but I think I'm right, aren't I? So, okay. So, taking off your environmentalist hat and putting your salesman's hat on, then, if that's okay, can you give us a bit of an overview of your product, which I've looked on your website? I believe you've got two brands, HydroPixel and HydroPack. I think I'm right in that. So just talk us through what your product is, how it works, and what it does, please, if that's possible.
Yeah. So we have created these boxes, put simply, that can vary in size and can also be connected infinitely, so that these boxes directly suck in air and produce large amounts of clean water every day using solar power.
Okay.
And so the HydroPixel you mentioned is a smaller unit where it actually just looks like a very well-designed, maybe an Apple-designed water cooler, except this product can make up to 100 liters of water a day just from the air.
Okay. So I know there's multiple applications for it. Where does it best sit? I presume it's very much a region by region or a sector by sector sort of application. Where's your sweet spot for sales, effectively? Where is it best installed, as it were?
Yeah. So right now we're seeing two use cases that is extremely popular. And of course, while we focus on the US today, you know, part of the reason we're on the podcast is we're also really interested in talking with, you know, potential partners and customers outside of the US. But right now, people are using our product primarily in two ways. The first one is as a sustainable replacement for plastic water bottles. Because we're drawing the water from the air, you don't have to transport that water, and you also don't have the pollution from plastic waste. The second way is to put our hydro packs, which are these bigger units. They produce actually up to thousands of gallons of water or tens of thousands of liters. And we put that on top of buildings. Maybe it's a residential building. Maybe it's a commercial building. And that way we can actually reduce the total water usage of a building just from harvesting air.
Got it. Okay. And I suppose as well, it would probably work very well in an off-grid situation, wouldn't it? If you're like a refugee camp, maybe, or like someone that wants to live off-grid, that would work very well in that context, wouldn't it, as well, I would imagine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, right now in these off-grid situations, we already have lots of different technology to provide off-grid power, right? Like solar and batteries and, you know, even wind if you're somewhere with a lot of wind resources. But water is the main blocker. So we can integrate that.
Would it, I'm thinking of coastal regions as a big sweet spot for it, but would it work would it work alongside a desalination plant, or would it replace it, or is it not that scalable yet to replace that technology? I'm just thinking where it would be best installed.
Yeah, actually, you know, Jonathan, you're hitting right on the nails that our vision for the technology is to go bigger and bigger over time. You know, we're pioneering this field. So in the future, we do envision that we can supply entire cities with energy from the sun and water from the sky. Right now, the way we work with desalination is actually we are either a supplement or we are an alternative, depending on the geography. Okay. Like if you're in the middle of, an area that's very far from the ocean, then obviously desalination is not possible or it's very costly. So then you should use us.
Okay. And then the million-dollar question here, you've mentioned solar. Is the unit fully solar powered? Does it run off mains electricity as well? I'm hoping it doesn't run on oil. I am joking, but as long as it gets away from that fossil fuel element. So is it sort of a multi-fuel use? You can plug it in or you can use solar or a bit of both. Is that how it works?
Yeah, the product is designed to work with any energy source, whether that's main grid or solar. We just prefer renewable energy sources. That's what we focus on. That's where we think is going.
Glad to hear. Fantastic. And then finally, on the actual unit itself, what are the commercials like? I mean, the reason why I ask is in my job as an energy advisor, I'm always looking at what we call payback periods over here. So I'm looking at return on investment for various energy efficiency reduction items. What would it be in terms of payback for purchase of the item versus what you would save on buying the water as an idea? Would it pay back in a couple of years, or would it be a bit longer than that?
Sure. So, you know, I think it goes back to thinking from the customer's perspective, right? Which is why currently the two use cases I mentioned the most popular. So actually, we have one of our investors use our machine in their office, and we found that actually we paid their back the unit in just 2.5 months because they're serving so many people with bottled water, and bottled water is extremely expensive, right? Yeah. So I think that's like a really great case, but let's just say you're a smaller household and you're still buying packaged water. Then we estimate that anywhere over a year to a year and a half period, you would fully recoup the cost of that.
That's really interesting because obviously it's much more environmentally friendly. And if it pays for itself back in, well, up to a year, that's a really big selling point, isn't it? Fantastic. Okay. And then some of my notes I've written down from listening to other podcasts you've done and looking at your company, I'm interested about what's the potential here? Because I got a stat off a previous podcast. This is in US figures. I believe 35.5 million billion gallons of water is available in the atmosphere on a 7-day rotation. Is that, are my figures correct in that context, Brian? So that's what's available. How much of that could your machine, if it was scaled up, access?
Sure. I'll turn that roughly. And you know what? I've never actually used this quote publicly, but you know, we could be fact checked. I believe it's 13,000 cubic square kilometers of water in imperial terms.
I'll go with your figure rather than mine. Okay, no worries.
But that's our resource. You know, that's how we benchmark why our technology is scalable, is that it regenerates itself. And so all of that is our resource. That's what we're tapping on, all of it.
And is there any, this is not a negative question, but is there any drawback to taking that much water out of the air in terms of the weather cycles or conditions, or is it stable, basically?
Yeah. So that's, you know, so I think this is where we can get a little technical with it for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The amount of water that we just mentioned is actually 200 times the amount of water that humans consume per year. Okay. So technically speaking, if we did this at large enough scale, I do think that we could, you know, potentially influence the weather pattern. However, that would have to be at a rate of 200 times human consumption to be able to do that. So right now, the way we think about it is simply that, you know, I think what we're doing is just too small to actually have an effect, but it's plenty enough for the applications that we're trying to help solve.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And then final question on the product itself. Any plans to come to the UK? Have you got any plans to expand this far, or is it just the US market you're focused on at the moment?
Actually, right now we are looking at international markets, and it goes back to kind of like our earlier conversation, which is I don't think that water is traditionally in many people's minds thought of as a problem for countries like the UK, for the US, or, you know, it's more thought of as a problem for the developing world. But it is just the case that, you know, of course, I guess closer to you, Jonathan, you can look at also at water problems in the UK itself, or in Italy and Spain and other countries right very close by. Lots of different types of water problems. And so that we are actively looking and trying to find ways to expand and partner with local businesses.
Okay, but good to see you over here soon then. Fantastic. Last couple of questions then. This is just bringing the context back to, as you know, we're a business podcast, just bringing it back to our business community here in the UK. And this might be something that you wouldn't be able to answer succinctly, but what would be two things? What would be the best advice for a business to improve their water consumption without buying your equipment? And then also, what advice would you give to business leaders looking to integrate water consumption improvements in their sustainability policy? So I'm looking for a bit of an overview on how to improve things in general, if that's possible, that might help our community over here in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. So especially for business owners that own properties, I think a great way to think about a net zero water footprint or being more sustainable is thinking about recycling of water on site. Depending on what type of, you know, business you have, of course. I think there are a lot of companies that are building technology that is able to significantly reduce through recycling your water footprint, which actually would probably end up saving you money over the long term. And so without using a query, I think that's a great way to think about water sustainability for your practice, whether you're running a hotel or some other type of business that uses a lot of water.
So we're looking at recycling. We have a lot of rain here, as you probably know. So rainwater harvesting is a big thing that we perhaps need to be a bit better on as well. So good. Great answer. Thank you. So Brian, thanks very much for your time today and discussing, let's be honest, it's an emotive topic, but also giving us a good overview of your product. I always say this really, that there's no silver bullet in the fight against climate change. But as I hope this session has demonstrated, there are people out there like Brian who are leading the way to help mitigate against its impact. So thank you for joining again. For everyone listening, all details on Brian, on Aquaria, all the links to his website and so on are in our podcast description. And then quickly, finally from me, a quick overview of the support you can get from myself and my team here at the Decarbonisation Net Zero Programme. We are here to help your business reduce its energy consumption and improve your sustainability. So as you probably know by now, because I say this on every session, we offer a free energy audit and we have access to grant funding, which can support energy efficiency projects, for example, solar, heat pumps and insulation. So if that is of interest, get in touch with us via the link again in the podcast description. Brian, thanks again for joining. I wish you and your business the best of success. I'm Jonathan Howell. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.